Ksubist Rav Yudzai Nomad Aleph, Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchok Merakit Atlos. Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchok, when he danced in front of a Kala, Chosin and Kala, so he had three branches that he used to juggle. Omar Rav Zeira, Komichsef Lon Saba. The old one, the Godol, Zokavein Lefi Chvaydei. Komichsiflon Saba, you're embarrassing us. You shouldn't be doing this. Kinoch Nafshe. When Rav Shmuel Barav Yitzchok was Nifta, you know what Noch Nafshe means. Noch Nafshe means he came to rest. Tzadikim ein lehem menucha, loy ba'ilam hazeh, v'loy ba'ilam haba. Shenema yeichu mechayel el chayel, adiru elokim b'tziyayim. No such thing as noch nafshe. The nefesh comes to rest. From what? So the Geshe Chaim, Zecheinu Levracha, says, it's noch nafshe from the Milchemes Hayetzer. And to the end of life, there's a Milchemes Hayetzer. There was a tzaddik right before his petiri, he said, the Yetzer just came to me and told me to say Shema Yisrael with a lot of kavana that people should say, you know, he was a tzaddik. It never ends. My mashgiach zecher tzaddik levracha, Reb Tzvi Feldman in the Mir. So he said, the Yetzer Hara fights you the most and the most important things. The last moment of a person's life is the most fateful one. There's going to be a huge Yetzer not to do tshuva. Don't wait. He said, that's why the biggest Yetzer, Chofetz Chaim used to say also, is not to learn. You can daven, you can, Tzedakah and chesed, but learning? No. Of course, that's the thing that's most important. The Yetzer will have his biggest fight there. So noch nafshe means from the Mechemes HaYetzer, no more than that. The Geshe Chaim says that, it says in Bereishis, that now that Adam has eaten from the Yetzer HaDa'as, pen yishlach esyoda v'yechum Yetzer Chaim v'yivocha v'chay lo olam. So when I was in kindergarten, I also learned in Teres Emes, except in Brooklyn. Yeah? He was a bad boy, Adam HaRishon. He was bad. Well, what if he eats an Eitz HaChaim and he gets to live forever? We've got to get him out of here. Doesn't deserve it. Napshat. All punishments of the Ribbono Shel Olam, he has now internalized a Milchemes HaYetzer. If he eats from the Eitz HaChaim, he'll have that Milchama L'Netzach Nitzachim. There's no bigger Gehenim than that. We better get him out of here before he really ruins himself. Sfas Emes says the same shot. So Noch Nafshe is from Milchemes HaYetzer. And I want to tell you, I was at a wedding in this Los Angeles, a place in the world called Los Angeles. And it was the mezzanine. It was 2 years ago. And I hear from downstairs sounds. Ooh, ooh. I said, what? It's a haunted hotel. I said, no, it was the Packers-Giants football game. The guests were being mesameach themselves at the Giants-Packers football game. Some months ago, I was flying from Panama to Boston, and there was a stop in Atlanta. A guy got on. He was wearing a Lakers shirt. That's a bit, you probably don't know, that, but that's a basketball team. Some of you don't know, yeah? So he gets on, and he's wearing this Lakers shirt, and he sits down next to me, and the stewardess says to him, you have the wrong shirt on, because Delta Airlines is based in Boston. This man is flying from Los Angeles to Atlanta to Boston, spending a whole week in a Marriott hotel, which probably cost him more than a nickel, and he bought to go see this game. And he probably bought a better seat than he could see on television, or else he's mamish mishugana. All that money. What is this? So Rav Nosson Wachvogel, Zecheinu Levracha, said, pshat, why people go so crazy? I came here from Denver. Denver, Colorado, 2 years ago, 10 years ago, they won the Super Bowl 2 years in a row. So if you will ask somebody from Denver, what are you depressed about? Didn't you win the Super Bowl 10 years ago? He'll look at me like I'm crazy. You know, it's meaningless. One more example. A very wonderful Jew called me up before Rosh Hashanah. He says to me, I'm more worried about what's going to be with the Yankees and the Red Sox than I am about Rosh Hashanah. I said to him, and he knows it's wrong. What should he do? So I said to him, remember a year or two ago that the Red Sox came from three games behind or something, and they won the World Series. He says, how did you feel then? He said, it was Tisha B'Av. It was Mamish Tisha B'Av. It was Tisha B'Av. So I said, does it bother you now? He says, no, it doesn't bother me at all now. It means it was meaningless. So this is meaningless also. What Rav Nosson asked, was it does? People go crazy. He says, because every human being understands life is a fight. Life is a conflict. So they're thrilled by fighting, by conflict, by war, whether it's soccer or basketball. Baseball, I don't know. Like, you know. The baseball, I don't understand. But the other ones, there's a conflict. Yeah? Like the Chovis of Ovis said, you came back now from the war to these returning soldiers. Now starts the real. Life is a fight. Asher lokachti miyadhe mayri b'char biyu b'kashti. He had to take it away. Had to fight. Yaakov had to fight every day of his life. You have to fight to live. One day you learn Masechta Kiddushin. Yehuda Endua. Toka flei alma. What is the Gemara's lotion of it's hard? The world is too hard for him. World is a fight. You're not willing to fight. It's not a problem. You become a Rosha. You have to fight. There's a world of fighting. So it's noch nafshe. Ki noch nafshe. Ifsik amud denura. There was a hefsik of a pillar of fire, bendy day, lekuli alma, ugmiri, we know, bekabola, dele ifsik amud denura, le ifchadadora, tebedora. This is special. So Rav Zera realized he was wrong. Now Rav Zera said, komich saflon saba. So you'll think Rav Zera was a covered mensch. It says right before that, ki sam churabon and Rav Zera, shoru lehachi. They sang to him like this. Loi kchal, v'loi srak, v'loi pirchos. All these different kinds of makeups, face makeups, hair makeups, v'yalas chayin. Without the kchal, without the srak, without the pirchos. Diz yalas chayin, yas chayin. My Rebbe Zechayin Elevrocha, some chavasimin. He said, pshat in the Gemara here is not despite the fact they didn't have kchal and srak and pirchos, that he was yalas chayin. It was because there's no kchal, v'loi srak, v'loi pirchos, no makeup. That's yalas chayin. That's how he learned pshat over here. So you see, Rav Zeh was not a covered mensch when he said, komich seflon saba. And he realized he made a mistake. Rav Zera. So Rav Zera said, you know, I was wrong. Ahanyile, Rav Shmuel bar Avi Yitzchok, Ahanyile shutise l'saba. The shite, the hardest branch helped him. V'amrile shtuse l'saba, his shtus. V'amrile shitose, his shita. What do these three things mean that we're going to get to? Rashi changes the order. The Gemara says, Shaitisa, the stick. Shtuse, his shtus. And Shitose, his shita. That's the order in the Gemara. Rashi changes it. Rashi says, Shaitise, Shait shalhata shaymarakit boy. Shitose, shitose min hogai. Shtuse, shaymisnagi ki shaita. Rashi changes the order. Now, the moral in this Gemara also changes the order, like Rashi. He doesn't quote Rashi, but the stomach is following Rashi. Why? You know, the word lama means why. Lima means for what? They're very closely related words. Why and for what? Rabbi Zechayin Levrocha, Rav Simcha Wasserman Zechayin Levrocha, he said, Moshe Rabbeinu walks past the burning bush, and he said, and he sees it's not getting consumed. It's not burning up. So he didn't say, wow, that's amazing. It means nothing to him unless he knows, madua lo yiva hasne, why? If I don't know why, I don't know anything. He used to quote the Rambam, I think it's in Hakdamah to the Mishnayos Tizrayim, that we measure wisdom by the ability to identify function. If I know what more things are, what they're for, I'm wiser. So Rashi's changing the order here. The Maral on this Gemara says the following. He says there are three things in every Avodah Shleima. Every act, if you want it to be perfect, it has to have three elements. First of all, you have to do it right. Second of all, you have to do it consistently. And third of all, you will have to be willing to do it b'mesiras nefesh, even if you have busha from it. So now we're getting, what's coming now is no holowak. Okay, until now, it was for sure true. Versus, they changed the order. It means there's an order. Because like, what does Rashi care to change the order if it doesn't matter, if there's no order? It must be in order. So l'chay the pshat's like this. You want to learn how to do something. You have to do it right. You have to do it slowly and carefully. A tennis teacher once told me that I'm right. How do you learn how to play tennis? You do the right stroke perfectly. And then again, and again, and again, and again. My definition of a genius is somebody who thinks slowly, quickly. Do you know, in Mesillas Yesharim it says, Zehirus mevi lidei zrizos. Zehirus, being careful, brings you to zrizos, doing things quickly. Ich verstehe nicht. I don't understand. If you are perfecting yourself in Zehirus, that means you should get slower and slower and slower and slower. Because you're a Zohir. Oh, no, that's not what we're talking about. You know what Zrizos is? Zrizos is fast Zehirus. The goal is the Zrizos. But you ain't going to get there unless you go through Zehirus first. It's not going to happen. Because if you're a Zohir, without a Zohir, you break your head. You have to run through a minefield, look very carefully, very slowly. That's what training is. What's called training? You see a fireman going up like, 400 rungs quickly. He's doing one rung at a time. He was taught how to do it. You don't try it. You got one rung at a time slowly. Everything is like that. You start slowly. You do it right. And then you proceed. Rabbi Sayyid Yibnei Torah. I'm going to tell you something now. Nobody asked me to say it. That's the truth. Chazor Sashir, when you chazor to shir, it doesn't mean to say over what the Maggid here said. Oh, here he had a kasha, and Rav Shimon says pshat. I mean, you're learning Git, and so does Rav Shimon's pshat and Breira. You're learning Chmein, Miesh Chaved, and Kiskayim, B'chesamov. So, you know, Rebbe, you learn pshat over here, and you learn pshat over here. Yeah. I don't know, Perik, you're learning Ksubis. In where are we now? In Tevis, you're probably not learning the second Perik. You're learning the first Perik or the third Perik, probably, or a Kesef. Yeah, you're only learning one of those three prakim. Probably in the third parak or the first parak. One of those two prakim you're learning. So you get to Chveis, Sex Faker. So Rebbe said over here, this is Machlok Yishon, what a Sex Faker is. And I don't know if you got the Daf test, but I don't want to get into trouble. I take everything back. I don't know where you're up to. Yeah? I don't know. Some yeshivas, take a long time to get out off of Daf Beis. Some yeshivas go very quick. Whatever you're doing, whenever there's a chazor sashir, it's not repeating what the Rebbe said. That takes 5 minutes. You have to relive the shir. You reread the Rashi. Go through it again and realize, look through the Rashi through the Maggid Shir's eyes. The Tais is the same thing. You don't repeat a narrative of what he said. That's very quick. You have to do it again and again. The right way. You go into a shir because you're learning how to do it right. That's your tekufa sachayim. The guy talks about this at length in Mishlei. But the first thing you need to do is to do it right. The shite, the branch, the Hadas branch, right, he knew how to twirl it perfectly. He did it right. Then, the next, according to their order, was he did it consistently. Shitase. The next element in a perfect maisa is not something which you do once, and that's it. Okay, did a good job, finished. You do it again and again and again and again and again. That's either chazara on the same piece, or every day is a new day. I took a group of bachrim to Rav Shach Zecherno Livracha. I was mashgiach by Rav Abba Berman 22, 23 years ago with Rav Motchal Tuski, Shlita. And I took him, we took them in. Rav Shach generally did not see Bachrim from Yeshiva Katana who were going to Yeshiva Gedaila, because he told Rav Abba, I'll be sitting here all day and not doing anything else. Because everyone's want Rav Shach to talk to them. But Rav Abba wouldn't give up. He doesn't give up. Rav Shach fell asleep, but Rav Abba was still sitting there. And he said, okay, he has to say yes. Rav Abba's a, Rav Abba told me there's no one in the door who could put a bach on his feet and learning like Rav Abba. He's a great Jew. This is a parenthetical statement. He came in 1946 to San Francisco from 5 years in Shanghai. I live in Israel. So Shanghai is Shanghai. Yeah? And he couldn't speak English. He didn't, and he was the only survivor in his family. The joint came to him and said to him, you can't speak English. You stutter. You could either become a rabbi or a teacher. You can't do either. We'll fund you to a PhD in anything. In 1946, it meant something. He told his son-in-law, it never crossed my mind to accept their offer. Do you know what that, I mean, we cannot understand this. We should never have to understand this, what it means to be a stranger in a country where you know nothing and have no family, and someone says, I'll take care of you, and he still says no. So, but he learned English. How did he learn English? He memorized the dictionary. So he told me there was once a fire in the room, and he ran out, Rav Abba ran out and said, conflagration! Nobody knew what a conflagration was, except for Rav Abba, because it was the same line as fire. He's a genius, his genius. So Rav Shach agreed that Rav Abba's boys can come. Yeah? So I took him together with Rav Motcha, and we were there for 15 minutes, a fortune of time. For 12, Rav Shach was about 95 then. Rav Shach spent 15 minutes with them, which is a huge amount of time. 12 of the 15 minutes on the clock was about the importance of getting a good night's sleep. As our Rosh Hashiva, Rav Scheinberg Shlita says, Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Veker. You want me to translate for you? The translation is the day begins with the night before. That's what it means. Someone who lived in the Chofetz Chaim's house said the Chofetz Chaim would go around this, and Yeshiva, who was famous for turning off the lights. But he used to go around in his house with the saying, Morgen is Eichatog. Tomorrow is also a day. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Because if you don't go to sleep, the next morning the clock is going to crawl. And the Ragachi is telling you something. And yeah. You're learning Torah b'Mesiras Nefesh. You understand? Like Mamish, you're working hard. Go to sleep. The 614th mitzvah is don't be stupid. Go to sleep. If one of you gets this straight, it's worth my coming to North America. And I've been in Flatbush, Toronto, Montreal, Denver, and now I'm here. Someday I'm going home, Bezus Hashem. Go to sleep. That's every day. Become things eat up. If there's time, we'll go into that again. But the second thing was shitase. There are three machlekes of what the most important pasuk in the Torah is. And Ben Pazi said, as a kevesech tase baboike, vese keves hasheni tase ben aboyim, ben aboyim. And we paskin like Pliny, paskin like Ben Pazi. Consistency, Rabbi say. The main thing is a smooth ride. It's a smooth ride. Every day adds up. I spoke in Tel Zeshiva years ago. I was accepted into Chaim Berlin by Rav Motl Weinberg. Zechayne Levracha. Rav Motl was the biggest masmid in the history of Tel Zeshiva. He was the first one to bed. He got up in the morning, and he was fresh and learned all day, every day, for years. That's how you get somewhere. How do you measure a good driver? How often does he have to use his brakes real hard, real quick, real tough? Just a smooth ride. Smooth ride. So that's shitase. And then, if you have those two things together, you do something right. And then you do it again and again and again and again and again. And therefore, now you could do it as a shita. It doesn't mean you don't have bad days, Rabbi Sai. Everybody has rough days. There are no bad days, but they have rough days. Days the chavrusa didn't show up, or the days that the chavrusa did show up. You know, it's either way. It's tough. Yeah. But you keep going. You keep going. Those two things together, now you have internalized Torah. And then you're willing to do shtusay also. You're willing to do things that are embarrassing. Because at the end of the day, Rabbi Sai, the only one who carries himself with him is yourself. You only have yourself at the end. I was asked to speak yesterday, how to get a geschmack in learning. We live in a world where you made me angry. You made me happy. There's always somebody to blame. Somebody has to do it for me. A principal once told me that there was a kid in elementary school who had done something wrong, and the kid said to him, it's your fault. So the principal said to him, but I only got here this year. Like, what happened all the other years? He said a beautiful line. There's always somebody to blame. This is a recipe for a failed life. Someone was told it was a mess, an unbelievable mess. A kid, a 3-4-year-old kid, slipped down a few stairs. The mother said to the kid, hit the stairs, bad stairs. This is Prussian homicide. A person has to know he has responsibility for himself. He's a person, no one can make you angry, no one can make you happy, no one can make you sad. You turn on, people turn on, visual entertainment. Make me happy! And as soon as it's over, then you're not happy anymore. You carry things around with you. And we're going to end with a nekuda, with a point. There's a maral. The maral says, there's a mishnah, ezeho chocham, ezeho oshir, ezeho gibor. It could be I don't have the order right. Ezeho chocham, halam mikol adam. Ezeho oshir, Hasameach b'chelkai. Ezel gibor, hakoy v'shis yitzray. I don't understand. So Maral is, why don't you give the simple pshat? Ezel Osher has a lot of money. Ezel gibor has big muscles. Ezel chochem knows a lot. You see from that Maral, by the way, that a simple pshat, if it's true, is better than a convoluted pshat. Because it all holds the kasha. Why did you say the simple pshat? I wanted a complicated pshat. The kasha is in itself a limud gadol. Sometimes you need a complicated pshat. It happens, but it's only because you need it. So he says, "Amar de gezach," and that's the finale to this. Anything that you measure by kamus, by amount, by quantity, it's not you, it's them. Let's say, I give this example all over the world. Let's say you have $500,000 to buy a house. In Kampala, the capital of Uganda, you could buy a mansion. In Beverly Hills, you could buy a huge, beautiful doghouse for $500,000 with the land, maybe. So what's called a lot? It all depends where you are. I came to Joburg, Johannesburg, wonderful people. My favorite people in the world are South Africans. They're extremely nice. They're very nice. They're amazing people. I never met a South African I didn't like. Or maybe it's not politically correct, or a Chofetz Chaim guy. Yeah? They both, Reb Henoch did an amazing job. What can I tell you? Me, this is unbelievable. But maybe it's not politically correct, so if Baruch Hashem's not being recorded, right? Yeah? So anyway, I come to Joburg. This is a long time ago. The Rand hasn't been doing well for a while, but I had $100 bill, $150. It's a fortune of money. You can buy, I had bought three pairs of trousers for that amount of money with the tailoring, everything. It was unbelievable. It's not my wealth, it's their poverty. A chacham. There was a balabas, a child of a balabas in San Diego, who said he felt his balabas, his Rosh Yeshivas were Gedali Hadar. And then Reb Henoch came, and he saw his Gedalim be Talmidim. He didn't realize that you could be bigger than my rabbis. It's unbelievable. By Reb Henoch, they were his children. It depends. They came into Rav Gustman, Zechayin L'Racha, Rav Yisrael Zev Gustman. And they asked him to become chief rabbi of Jerusalem. And there'll be a lot of COVID. So after he turned them down, he turned his Talmidim and he said, they're offering me COVID. I was a young Rav, a young dying on Rav Chaim Moses Bezdin. I came into a meeting of Rabbanim. Rav Chaim Moses saw me. He stood up for me. Now, Chofetz Chaim didn't know who this man is, but if Reb Chaim Moses does something, we listen. So he stood up. And once those two stood up, everybody stood up. So Rabbi said, I have news for you. Once the Chofetz Chaim and Reb Chaim Moses stand up for you, it's all downhill and COVID for the rest of your life. That's it. You offering me COVID? Come on now. We do not live a relative life. We do not live in deciding how well or how poorly we're doing based on how someone else is doing. Forget it. Ezel Osha, a lot of money, depends where you are. Who knows a lot? It depends who you, it depends where you are, what's called a lot. We had a guy in Eish HaTorah, in the old city, in Jerusalem, many, many years ago. He was in his Reformed temple for the High Holy Days, and a question came up. A question in Halakha came up. Who should blow the shofar? A young man who's married to a shiksa, who has good lungs, how he knows the halacha is at a low, but that probably wasn't the shiloh, yeah? Or an older man whose lungs aren't so good is married to a Jewish woman. So this Reform rabbi got up and said, you know, we have somebody here studying Torah in Jerusalem. He should answer. So this boy, who was like, you know, 6 weeks in Eish HaTorah, he was the biggest Talmud Chacham in the room. There's nothing to talk about. And he paskened. So like, you know, do you understand? Rabbi Sai, you can't live in a relative world. You can't live in a world based on how well is he doing and how well. I was a mashgiach for 2.5 years in a yeshiva katan in Yerushalayim for geniuses, by Rav Motzer Kashinsky. These boys had a problem. They had never worked a day in their life before they got to 7th grade or 8th grade when they started. You know what a handicap it is to have a good head? To be a very good head, you're in sakana. You're in danger. Because you get lazy. What's going to happen when you come to a sugya or come to a school or come to a chavrut who you have to work for, and you never did that in your life? And you become arrogant also, because you know, I know more than everybody else. So if you have a big, if you're a big Baal Kishron, you have to know you're in trouble. There's a picture, one of the most unforgettable pictures that I ever saw. It's a picture of Aaron Zechayin Levoch, of Aaron Kotler after Rishir. Total, complete, utter exhaustion. Like, why is he working so hard? He was a genius's genius. Like, you know, what's the problem? The answer is, it doesn't matter to Rabbi Aaron how well anyone else is doing. I have my kishrinos, I have my keichs, I better use them. And he did. But that's hard. It's hard for geniuses to work hard. We don't even understand it. If you have a fear to middling kishrin, yeah, a 90 IQ, 80 IQ, then you'd be okay. Just have to work day by day, like we said, and you'll be fine. You'll have a long life, and you will grow, and you'll become a great Talmud Chacham. A real great Talmud Chacham, because it's day by day. So this is Rabbi Isai the Nakuda. First, in your Tekufa Sechaim, in your time of life, you have to learn how to do things right. The right strokes, what's called a good question, what's not called a good question. And do chazor, review things. Review things cumulatively. Reb Chaim Doiv Altuski Shlita, he needs a refuah shalom, used to say every Friday, sit down and chazor from the beginning of the Masechta. The first stuff and go quickly. Just keep reviewing. Do it right. The second thing is do it consistently. You had a hard day. You had a hard day. You get up again. Great people get up again. Kisheva yipol sadik v'kam. And then when you get to that, then you become a freestanding person. You can do things that even are embarrassing. You get on an airplane. I had someone sitting next to me. I put on film Friday. I wasn't going to change planes in St. Louis from L.A. to Boston. The guy said, Friday, if you're stupid enough to fly on Friday. So I put on tefillin on the airplane. So the guy picked up and moved his seat. I got to L.A. once Delta Airlines misplaced my luggage, and it was Friday morning. So she says to me, it doesn't matter, we'll deliver it to you tonight, you'll just sign for it. So I said to her, I don't sign my name on Friday night. She looked at me, and what doesn't he do on Tuesday morning? Like, you know, he doesn't sign his name on Friday night. I mean, Los Angeles, it's Altgate, and even that she never heard. But it's okay. You learn that you carry yourselves around wherever you are. That's the third and final chelik over there, you should say. Rabbi says, it's been my schus to speak to you. I'm mokum teira. Realize how lucky you are, and b'shoitei, b'shitasei, u'b'shitusei.